not say a word about that point from which, or back to which, the Buddha is going. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is one of the great Hindu texts, there is the story of the being of beings. He was all that there was. And on one moment, he says the word I. This was the beginning of the creation of the world. Now, Hinduism is psychological. This is the psychology of the world coming into being. The Buddhism is going back through that same I. This being of beings said, I. And no sooner did he say, I, that is to say, no sooner had he defined and delineated himself, than he was afraid. Fear is the first response to being something, to imagining yourself. The psychology of I brings about the psychology of fear. Then he reasoned, and he thought, what should I be afraid of, since there's no one in the world but me? So then what? He wished that there were someone else in the world. So now comes desire. Fear first, desire next. Come right out of having said, I. And what did he do? He swelled up, split in half, became male and female, and begot the world. This is Adam and Eve. And this is the Platonic myth of the two that split in half. And when we find our true love, our true spouse, we recompose the original one which was split in half there. That's the mysticism of this mystery. But the Buddha now is going to go back upstream. The first exercise then, and the only exercise, is to erase the sense I. How are we going to do that? That is the problem here. The Buddha comes to the tree of illumination, which is called the immovable spot. What does that mean? It is that spot in the psyche which is not moved by fear or desire. But it's pictured as though it were a geographical spot in the center of the world. And he stood on the northern side of this. And the whole world, which was like a great big wagon wheel with him at the hub, when he stood on the north side of the tree, tipped. The world tipped like a great wagon wheel. And he said, this is the unsteady place. Then he walked to the west, same thing. Then to the south, same thing. Then to the east, stayed settled. Now this eastern position is the position from which you see the sunrise of the new day. This is the position of illumination, where you see the new illumination. By the way, the reason the Christian week is celebrated on Sunday, the beginning of the week, is that it represents the new law, the new day, the new illumination. The Hebrew celebration on Saturday represents the old day. That's exactly why the day was shifted from Saturday to Sunday. Saturn is the planet of heaviness, of weight, of obstacle, the law. And now we're going to break past that. Similarly here, the law, the dharma of Hinduism is to be broken past. These are exactly equivalent concepts. Seated there, he is confronted now by the tempter. And who is the tempter? He is that divinity who first said, I. The tempter comes to him in two forms. First one, then another. The first form is that of desire, called kama, K-A-M-A. The second is that of aggression, death, the fear of death, called mara, M-A-R-A, which means death. Kama, mara, desire, and death, desire and fear. As my late friend Heinrich Zimmer used to say, desire is the bait, death is the hook. Death can't touch you if there's nothing you desire. The Lord of the world, by whom all things are moved, stands before the Buddha as the Lord of love, lust, desire. delight. And he parades before the Buddha his three beautiful daughters. This is called the temptation of Kama Ma. And their names are longing, fulfillment, regrets. He had no sense I, therefore he had no sense of they. There was no one here, there was no one there. Disappointing to the girls. We have no report of their comments, but their father, Kama, transformed himself then into the Lord of Death, and with a horrendous face with tusks and a necklace of 72 skulls, and with weapons in his many hands, and an army of monsters, he attacks the Buddha. They throw at him all kinds of things. There's nobody there. So when these weapons reach this field of nobody being there, they are transformed into bouquets of adoration. Then the attacker transforms himself into the Lord of Dharma, the Lord of Duty. These are the three things by which we are bound. Desire, as Freud tells us, fear and aggression, as Adler and Nietzsche tell us, duty, as our clergymen and social scientists tell us. These are the bondages from which the Buddha is breaking. As the Lord Dharma, this tempter says, "What are you doing sitting here? Why are you not at your work, which is that of being a prince and governing?" And the Buddha then just touched the earth. This so-called earth-touching posture, you'll see it in the Buddha images, the hand touches the earth. And the earth herself, the goddess world, the all-encircling universe, calls out, "This is my beloved son who through many, many lives has given of himself without thought, and he is eligible to this position." Then the elephant on which the Lord Dharma is seated bows before the Buddha. The army disperses, and the Buddha that night perceives the whole history of his own lives, history of the world lives, the image of the world, the sorrows of the world, and at dawn achieves illumination. Now he sits there for 7 days. This illumination so stuns, it is an opening of the world, so stuns him that he sits there for 7 days. Then he steps away and for 7 days regards the spot where he had sat. Then for 7 days he walks back and forth, integrating this. Then he goes and sits beneath a tree, and he thinks, "This cannot be taught." And that's the first doctrine of Buddhism. It cannot be taught. No experience can be taught. All that can be taught is the way to an experience. Hence, Buddhism is something that is implicit in ourselves and is to be achieved through experience but cannot be delivered to us like a package. No sooner did he have this illumination than the deities themselves came down and they said, "Teach." So he said, "For the good of man and the gods, I will teach." But what he teaches is not Buddhism. What he teaches is the way to Buddhism. And this is called the middle way. It is the way between any pair of opposites you want to think of. The first pair of opposites is, of course, that of extreme austerity and world negation, and extreme affirmation and luxury. It's the way between these. Remember, he ate food before his illumination.